Well, let's open our Bibles. I want to look at something this evening. And just looking at familiar scripture, you know, I like Christmas. I don't know about you, but seasons, you know, certain seasons of the year, even Christmas or Easter, any of these seasons, but specifically here we're talking about Christmas and this season, you know, just the world will say this is a happy time. This is supposed to be a joyful time. You know, songs talk about hap, hap, happy and so forth. But for some, it can be a joyous time. And for some, it can be a very not pleasant time. It can be a stressful time for a variety of reasons. And so, you know, just looking at that, we want to look up, you know, and look at these particular accounts in Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1. And just look at this from just a different viewpoint here. And, you know, when you look at this time of the year, you know, I know Pastor Zutterbach talked about this years ago, you know, just talking about don't spend money you don't have and so forth. It can add some additional stress to your life. But, you know, people get stressed out just trying to coordinate all the stuff. You've got children and all of the pulls and stresses of that. And, you know, just if you have family, if you come from a large family, just pulling all of that together can be a lot. It can be some stress with that, you know, or buying gifts, even the stress of being pressured to buy a gift, feeling I gotta buy a gift, right? Just even that, too, can add some anxiety to people. Maybe not you, but there are people out there that just wrestle with that. And maybe they don't have the money, and so they spend money they don't have. They say, charge it. And then they're paying it off all year. So there can be some added, you know, stress to this time of the year, but we don't have to have it. We don't have to take it. We can look at it another way. It can be a joyful time or it can be a stressful time. But as we were sharing on Sunday, it's important to make sure that we keep Jesus at the center of this. And he is the reason why we do all of this. But let's turn over to Luke chapter 1. And I want to read this in the New Living Translation because I think it's just clear. Luke chapter 1. And starting in verse 26, Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son, and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, and starting in verse 18, I'm also going to read this from the New Living Translation. Just wait for you to get there. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. It says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, see, he didn't speak, he just considered it, right? So God knows what you're thinking, doesn't he? As he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Verse 23 and 24. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Now let's look at one more account. Let's go back to Luke 2. I'm going to read this in the New Living also. Luke chapter 2 and the first seven verses. Luke chapter 2 and the first seven verses. Starting in verse 1, it says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for their census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. So when you look at this account, I wanted to just take a look at this. When you look at this account of the first Christmas and the birth of Christ, we can be just like the shepherds saying glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill to men. We can rejoice. But also, look at this also. This, and look at the events surrounding this. This also, for Joseph and Mary, was a very stressful time. So, yeah, it was a joyful time. We see it as a joyful time, but just consider yourself going through that. It was a very stressful time. They were confronted with life's issues, weren't they? So when you think about this, look at what happened. Just think about what happened to Mary. When you look at Luke chapter 1, it said God sent, in verse 26, said God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. And then it goes on, and it's down in verse 29. Well, the angel appeared, Gabriel appeared to her, and she was what? It says she was confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. So what do you have to do? He said, don't be afraid. So there was some things that, what, affected her thinking, her flesh. All of this stuff is going on. She's what? She's confused. What the heck does this mean? And we look at it saying, glory to God, hallelujah. Yeah, we're the beneficiaries of it. How many of you have been approached to do something and you're like, I don't know. What the heck is this? I don't know. Look what happened to Joseph. Angel appeared to Joseph. What is he doing? He's trying to figure out, what am I going to do now? He broke off the engagement. What happened? He's like, I don't know here. And think about it. In the society that they lived in, that's a problem. She's pregnant, and they're not married. That's a big deal in that society, right? But look at Luke. So what does it say? Joseph was a good man and didn't want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to do what? He decided to break off the engagement. But what happened as he considered this, as he pondered this, the angel appeared to him in a dream. So I'm just trying to paint this picture here that they had to, during this time, she's with child. And what happens? He says, no, you take Mary as your wife. But now he has to now think about this. They don't get it. They say, okay, Mary, let's get in the car and let's drive up to Bethlehem. No, that's like an 80-mile trip on a horse, walking. See how much fun that is. So all of this stuff is going on because they're taking a census, there's taxes, all of this stuff. So when you look at this story, as wonderful as it is, because it reflects on our Savior, this for them was filled with problems and potential stress for them. Right? So when you think about this, that was facing both of them. They had some things that they had to overcome and they were facing, were they not? So think about this. When we're dealing with this Christmas season, this same thing approaches us. The stresses and how we handle and deal with the Christmas season that we're in, right? The pressures and the stresses that come along with that, God certainly didn't impose it. This is things the world does. But if we stay focused on Jesus and the reason for the season, it can be a wonderful time and a less stressful time. So think about this here. Let's turn over here to Romans chapter 3 for a minute and just look at one verse of Scripture. So all of us, when you think about this, all of us have to walk through this season. It's how we handle it makes a difference, doesn't it? So Paul writes, and he's writing here in chapter 3 about those that don't know Christ. But look at this, and he right from the very beginning of chapter 3, and you can read down through, but he's here talking about people that don't know Christ. But look at verse 17, and it says, and the way of peace have they not known. Or you could leave that up for the New Living Translation, because that's what I want to reference. It says, they don't know where to find peace. Right? They don't know where to find peace. So if you don't have Christ, if you don't have God in your life, it's difficult to handle the things that come up in life. And this is really what we're talking about. How you walk through this season, how you walk through seasons in your life, if you don't have God in your life, it becomes extremely difficult for you to handle those situations. So think about this here. When you look at these accounts, there was opportunity for stress in Joseph and Mary's life. They were faced with problems. He had to be struggling with this because he said he was a just man. He didn't want to expose Mary publicly. So what did he do? He said, okay, I'm just not going to get engaged. See, so he was wrestling with something. So was Mary. What does this mean? And now on top of that, you accept the call. The power of God comes upon you. You're pregnant now with Jesus, and now you've got to go to Bethlehem for a census. And she's due. You're not just pregnant, you're due. So think about this here, that what changed the situation for them? They listened to the word of God concerning the things that they were confronted with, right? It changed for Mary. It changed for Mary. She said, be it unto me according to thy will. Changed for Joseph. The angel said, no, take Mary your wife. And what did he do? He did. So for them, keeping, in our case here, they had the word of the Lord given to them through an angel. We have God's word to us. He's speaking to us. You'll say, well, God doesn't speak to me. He's speaking to you right here. So it can go well for us or stressful for us if we don't do just like Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth, who said, I accept the word. Be it unto me. So that's really what we're talking about here. It profited them because they accepted the word of the Lord to them. And the word can profit us if we accept it and act upon it. And that's really what we're talking about, that they had stresses, they had things that they were wrestling with, and it went well for them because they accepted the word of the Lord that was given to them. And so as we walk through these seasons, or Christmas season or any season, when we're faced with things, it can also go well with us if we accept the word of the Lord given to us. And so that's our point here. It'll profit us if we mix faith with the word. Now let's look at, we're going to look at another scripture here, John 14:27. John 14 and verse 27 in the New Living Translation. It says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So here God is telling us, stay focused on him and not the problem. He's saying, stay focused on me. Let's look at John 16 and verse 33. John 16 and verse 33. In the New Living, it says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have what? Overcome the world. So he's saying you're going to face this, you're going to walk through these things, but keep focused on me. Take heart, I've overcome the world. So when we face things in life, we need to do what? Decree, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengtheneth me. And so as we do just like Mary and Joseph when we receive the word of the Lord given to us and we mix faith with it, it'll go well with us. It'll go well with us. Psalm 119 and verse 165. In the New Living, it says, those who love your instructions, 165, Psalm 119, verse 165, I think in the King James it says, those that love thy law have great peace, but this says here in the New Living, those who love your instructions have great peace and do what? Do not stumble. So we love the word of God and we receive it. We have great peace and we will not stumble. Stumble what? Stumble in the things that confront us in life. So we won't act as if, you know, another thing, you know, we know sinners act a certain way. It says they don't know where to look for peace. But it's another thing when Christians live in stress and act as if he's not there. So we need to be conscious of the fact, this is what we were sharing on Sunday, that Emmanuel, God, is what? With us. He's with us wherever we are, whatever we confront in life, wherever we walk through, God is with me. He's saying in Hebrews, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's there. He's without shadow of turning. He's without variableness of turning. He's always there. God is present. And we were sharing God's promises. If he fulfilled that one promise for Mary, then he'll fulfill all of his promises. And what did he say? We just got done here. He gave us peace. So the main thing to remember is he's not what? He's not a babe in a manger anymore. He came. He fulfilled his ministry. He was crucified, died, buried, raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And greater is he. We've accepted him, received him as Savior. He overcame because he overcame, we can overcome. We've been given authority and dominion here in this earth. So we need to operate and act as if he's with me all the time. And he is with me all the time, but we need to act like that, not like we're being overcome by some stresses in life. Yeah, they're going to come. He said, you're going to have issues. That's what he said. You're going to have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. I've overcome them. So if he overcame them, I'm part of his body. I'm a joint heir. That means I overcome. And so, yeah, it may rattle you a little bit, but he's got the answer. He's going to show us how to walk through something we're confronted. Just like Joseph and Mary. Do this. Do this. What happened when they were trying to kill the babe? What did he say? Go down into Egypt. He gave them a way out. He showed them how to overcome. Isn't that exciting? So that means when it looks like there is no way, he already knows what you're thinking. He's going to speak to you. Maybe it's not an angel. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I'll tell you, most times for me, it's the Holy Ghost is going to show you what to do. He's going to reveal to you what to do, what to say, where to go. He's going to show you. And he's fulfilling his word. You're overcoming. Because you focus on him. You mix faith with it. So when you're confronted with a problem. I know I was reading something recently. We were reading from the book we're studying up in Pennsylvania, The Spirit of Faith. And he was talking about in here, keeping your words right. And, you know, when his wife Trina had this brain tumor, and they were prepping her to go into the operation, all this kind of stuff. And people were saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? He said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I do know what I am going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know what I'm going to do, and that's keep my eyes and my focus on Jesus, and I'm going to keep my words right, keep my faith right, keep my words right. And that's what he's talking about, believing and speaking. So we may walk through something, we don't know what we're going to do, because we don't have the answer, but he does. And so if we keep our focus right, keep our focus on Jesus, then we'll be all right. If we mix faith with it, right? Amen. So I find this interesting when you look at these stories, that we look at it from one way, one perspective, that, you know, we look at it post, you know, I mean, after the fact, we're Christians, we're saved, we thank God for Jesus coming, we rejoice, we're remembering that and all that he's done. But I'm just looking at it from this standpoint that, yeah, we walk through seasons and we walk through Christmas, and sometimes it can be stressful for people. It can be not a good time for people. It can be a joyous time for people. But the key becomes, when you look at these accounts of Mary and Joseph, it wasn't such a real happy, happy time for them. Right? But what was the difference? They kept their eye. They received the word of the Lord given to them. And if we can ever remember anything, that's key, that he's given us his promises. And just like it went well for them, it'll go well for us if we receive the word given. And that's something we need to keep in mind and remember. And as we go through this time of the year, we can just stand up and decree and say, I will have a stress-free Christmas. I'm going to have a joyful, stress-free Christmas. And you decree it. You say, I am going to have that. And you let your words decree it and not be, you know what I'm saying? In other words, you begin to say what you want, not be something where I'm subject to all of these pressures that come. Yeah, they may come, but you say, you know what? I'm going to have a stress-free Christmas and a Christmas season. And you give God something to work with. And what does it say? It says, have no, what does the scripture say in Philippians 4:6? It says, be careful for nothing, or we read Sunday, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So I don't know about you. You know, when people say, I remember one minister said, well, if you say so, no. That's not what I say so. What I say is, say what you want. Say what you desire. You know, a lot of times people are saying, well, God, give me this. God's saying, what do you want? People are saying, God, give me a stress-free Christmas, or give me a stress-free life. He said, you're going to have trials and sorrows, but be of good cheer because I've overcome. So it doesn't mean that the issues will change. It means how you walk through them, how you see them, how you perceive them, how they affect you. Because you can be above and from the standpoint of your thinking. You can have so much peace, supernatural peace, that all this stuff's going on and you go, doesn't bother me. Doesn't affect me. It's not affecting me. You see? And so always remember, this is not intellectual something that we know. It's the power of God. And so when we speak the word of God, it releases the power of God, and the peace of God is what? Something supernatural. And the peace of God can do what? Keep your heart and mind through Christ. So all of these pressures that come to try to do what? Take up space in your mind. If it's filled with peace, it won't affect it the same way. It will not. So we just have to, when those things come, and things come to kind of disturb your peace, say, oh, no, I'm having peace. And the peace of God is working in me. Just the same way we talk about, you know, we're so adamant to say the healing power of God's working in my body and it's affecting a healing and a cure of my body and every cell's working and tissue's working right. We need to say the same thing about peace. The peace of God is operating in me and it's working in me and causing my heart and mind to be at peace. And I am not disturbed with these issues. We need to have the same faith in that area. Isn't that not true? We need to decree it. I believed, and therefore I speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13. I believe I have peace, and I will have peace in a stress-free season of Christmas. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we shall have a stress-free, joyful Christmas time. And the peace of God that rises up in us will impact and affect those who we come in contact with. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you so much for operating through us and in us. Thank you for this area that we live in. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for what you're doing in our area. Thank you, Father. We're so grateful for you, and we thank you for the word and the power of God operating in this area that we live, and we lift up all of the elected and appointed officials. Thank you, Father, for change and fixing things that we don't even know about. But thank you, Father, that we can have peace and peace with people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.